huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
If you have a strong reputation, you could be able to raise any amount of money that you need. If your reputation is extremely weak, no kind of money will help you to survive in the business.
Hey everyone, thank you for joining The Disruptive Entrepreneur. I'm very pleased to have an unbelievable guest here today. Now, I'm going to record his intro post-edit because I want to get straight in. Now, Timur, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Now, your story is amazing. 33-year-old billionaire is quite an astonishing achievement. And from my research, I understand that you started your company, Freedom Finance, in 2008, before you finished college, and you pooled $100,000 with your co-founders. So is my research correct? And how did you turn that into billions of dollars so quickly?
We're doubling our business many times before come to this point. And last year we also doubled it again. At this moment, we are running 500,000 brokerage accounts in former Soviet Union countries, in Western European countries, and servicing a lot of institutional customers. And all of this came from our dream to provide a DMA access to the US stock market as a key capital hub in the world, because I started my career in 16. Then I moved to the bank at 18, and all the time I was involved in trading U.S. stock market as a bank employee, as an investment company employee. And when I was fired in financial crisis, we made decision just to continue to do the same as a small investment boutique in the very late 2008. And that was very tough time to start, because a lot of people lost money on stock market, and they was not extremely happy to risk in the middle of the crisis. But hopefully in the spring of 2009, stock market started to recover, and recovery of US stock market, we were very aggressive, much aggressive rather than Russian market or I think any other market in the world.
Wow. So can you take us back to your childhood or the first point in your life when you realized you loved investing and you had a passion for what you do now?
Most of my childhood, I was a fan of computer. So I started to discover my PC when I was like 13 or maybe 14. And I always had an idea that my business, my profession will be connected, linked to using of computer. And when my friend had a friend who just sold his garage and made decision to invest some money into stock market, and he just showed us how he's trading stocks online, sitting at home through internet. And that looked like my dream to use computer and to trade on stock exchange, because I seen a lot of Hollywood movies about investing, about stock market, and most guys from that movies were very rich, and I had a dream to make to be a wealthy person in my childhood, because my family was not very wealthy. So it was very, very, very average in a very difficult time for country. And I always had a dream to make some money. And in my opinion, most people from investment business, from stock market business, was very rich. Also because of that, so stock market, making money, and computer all in one, it looks like a dream. So my profession of the dream. So because of that, I came to my family and asked for some initial capital. The first initial capital was $800. My initial deposit on Russian stock market. I bought some liquid stock of some utility company in Far East of Russia. That was my first investment, and I unfortunately that was the right choice, but I not made money on that investment because I sold it much earlier than I should. My first intention was that I should work, so to do something, to buy and to sell. That looks like a great idea, and I hated idea just to wait and to do nothing. And I sold that stock because it was not volatile, so the price were the same each day. So that was not interesting, not fun. So my key idea were to make money, to work, so work to trade. But that's the kind of a business when you are paying for your activity, not like as a normal job where someone is paying for your activity. So here you are paying for your activity. So I sold that stock, bought the Russian blue chip at that moment. And unfortunately, this stock more than quadrupled in 6 months, but I lost all that opportunities.
So if you invest in a stock now, let's say for yourself, are you looking for a very long-term hold, a lifetime hold maybe?
Yes, I'm very... at this moment, I'm not active at all, because 99, almost maybe 95, my total net worth is my own stock. So I'm not having much money. I have just a lot of stock, and I don't want to sell the stock in exchange to different, because our industry is booming. We are growing extremely fast. And I hope that our stock is looking like one of the best investments. And I'm also feeling my responsibility, also maybe because of my responsibility to different shareholders, to my customers, to my employers, I also not feeling that I able to really diversify my risks, because I'm also in charge of making this company bigger. So I should be 100% involved in that, and has no different assets like a backup.
Timur, could you give us a bit of an idea about Freedom Finance, to give everyone some context who might not know you? How many employees do you have? How much money under management do you have? What was your sort of growth trajectory like? Because, I mean, doubling every year, I mean, that's kind of Microsoft first 10 or 15 years. There's not many companies that, you know, 50 or 100% growth every year. So, yeah, number of staff at Freedom Finance, amount of money you manage, and your growth.
So we're not asset management firm, so we're not really managing money. We are a stockbroker. We're just executing customers' orders. That's the key business. We're making most of our money from just brokerage commission. In this case, we're more common to Robinhood or I don't know, Ameritrade. So the classic retail brokerage firm, Interactive Brokers, something like that. We're keeping some money, some customers' assets in-house, but sometimes customers can use different custodians and we even don't know how much money do they have. They're just trading with us, as many institutional customers do, for example, because they usually keeping their assets in separate in different custody banks. At this moment, we're servicing up to almost 500,000 customer accounts, retail customer accounts. And it's also very interesting because just 10 years ago, the total amount of accounts in Russian market, for example, was just 1 million accounts. In the first 25 years of independence, so Russia opened 1 million accounts. And now the total amount of accounts is almost 20 billion or 20 millions. So 20 times more in 10 years. So all the market is much bigger because the penetration is still relatively low. It's only 13% of labor force of adult people who is working now having brokerage account. So the involvement level is relatively low in my markets, and also the customer focus changed dramatically from local market to the global market, and we see that everywhere. So we see that in Russia, in Kazakhstan, in Ukraine, in Uzbekistan. We also see the same in Germany or in Spain, in Portuguese. Just 5 years ago, much less people in Western Europe were interested in buying stocks in the United States. But in the last 10 years, the only place where you can find some yield is the United States equities, because European market is relatively boring, unfortunately. The yields of bonds of investment grade bonds, at least, is on negative level or very close to be negative. And but United States and the Silicon Valley produce a lot of innovations, a lot of disruptive, really disruptive companies, and a lot of these companies is going public, and amount of these investment ideas actively growing. And also the biggest company is becoming even bigger, and their total market share is also growing. So the strongest becomes even stronger all the last 10 years. And these fangs, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Netflix, Apple, is becoming bigger, bigger, and even bigger. And they fighting for more share of disposable income of customers almost everywhere in the world. So Google and Facebook, for example, controlling almost half of total advertisement revenue in the world at this moment, very, very small companies. I think the key reason of market growth is developing of these technology platforms, because when we just started to do our business 12 years ago, we executed most of our customers' orders by telephone. And most of our customers, 45 years old men, preferred to trade by telephone. And now all of them, our average 45 years old customer, prefer to trade online through smartphone. So the portrait of customers also dramatically changed. And that helped us to be more efficient, even more efficient than we were in the very beginning. I hope that we could be able to win some competition because of our focus on US market. So we were really extremely focused on providing access to the Western markets, but most of our competitors made most of their wealth on local market, and they also provided access, but not as a main focus. And that's maybe where the only reason why we could be able to win some market share in Russia, for example. We're feeling that we're number five or number six company in the market by the total exchange turnover, amount of registered customers, and things like that. In Kazakhstan, for example, we, I think, the dominating retail broker at this moment, so we're servicing three or four customers, so 75% of total customers in the country who is trading, who is investing on stock market.
Timur, you said earlier that, you know, you watched these movies of the stockbrokers making money. But did you, A, have a goal to be a billionaire? And did you ever believe you'd become one?
I'm not completely, I'm still not completely believing, besides everyone that's reminding me of this. I never had this goal. I think the only benefit of that is that your company is able to, we having more buying power for potential acquisitions now. And that's very good for business because, of course, we have a better access to the capital if we will find some interesting acquisitions target or any different potential needs, capital needs. We could be able to use our market capitalization to raise this money. But I never had that dream. I even never had a dream to become an entrepreneur. So my dream was to be like a top manager in a big company. That was my dream. And if I so only because of financial crisis, only because they fired me, I started my business.
I bet they wish they didn't fire you now.
I hope my shareholders will not fire me and even my customer.
Yeah. So how old were you when you were a net worth billionaire?
Oh, this is the same age. I think so, 32, or it's became relatively just less than a year ago.
Do you not think that's so young to have that so much money?
I'm still not really maybe understanding that, but I'm feeling the growing pressure of my responsibility. Also my responsibility in terms of my customers, in terms of my employers, in terms of sometimes the national reputation in some points, because we are really one of the leading gateway for former Soviet Union customers to the US, and we should be in terms of AML compliance reasons, we should be very, very, very accurate to keep our reputation strong enough in terms of all these questions. And if we fail, so it can cause not only our reputation, it can cause the general market reputations because of our large market share. So I'm feeling the harder and harder pressure of this responsibility. And that's not extremely fun, fortunately.
How do you handle that responsibility? How do you stay focused, stay feeling positive and not buckle under that pressure?
I think... I believe that we still have a great corporate culture, and we have a high level of internal trust and general integrity in our team. So we trust each other. We are giving a lot of freedom to the management team in terms of making decisions, in terms of making mistakes, in terms of their amounts of their responsibility, amounts of their decision-making field. We have a lot of highly motivated people in the team, and it's very difficult to manage them, because if they are very highly motivated, they don't like to do some things that they not believe, and you have to spend a lot of time to make them believe in your strategy. but these people can be very, they can make miracles in our culture. So sometimes we're taking person out of our competitor, and they just introducing absolutely great products, and our competitors is wondering how it works, because it's the same person with the same education, with the same instruments. He's coming to the even smaller bank and making products that he could not be able to introduce in a big bank. But I hope the freedom is also one of our values. We're giving freedom to people to also in our management, in our general corporate culture. I'm really depend much on my family. So I have a big family. I have 5 kids now. My wife, that's a big backup for me. That's a really extremely important thing. So I have 2 things, my job and my family, nothing much above that. all my time, which I'm not in office, I'm trying to spend with my family. And that's a big pleasure when you can come back to home and be sure that you are coming to the safe place. That's very important to me. And the third is to do some sport, at least to walk, to run, to have some physical activity. Because if you are travel much, if you are flying much, have a lot of meetings, a lot of time shifts, you have to do some sport just to not become crazy. I also made decision to completely quit any kind of drinking alcohol. So I'm not smoking. I never smoked, and it's also much helps, because on a big pressure, this alcohol is never helps. It's only getting worse on the long term. And I quit drinking like 6 years ago. And I'm feeling much better now, even with a bigger pressure.
Thank you. What a great share there. So you said earlier you never planned to be an entrepreneur. Would you call yourself an investor more than an entrepreneur, or an entrepreneur more than an investor?
I think I am entrepreneur more than an investor, because I am acting person. So I'm managing our business. I'm controlling most of the process. I am creating a lot of products. So I'm inspiring all my team every day, and trying to keep them all together. So I'm not just investor. I'm not just observer in this case. I'm acting person, very actively acting person. And in this moment, we have in total group more than 3,000 employers.
Wow. Do you think we're in a bubble right now?
That's not an easy question. The simple answer is no. But we, in the moment where we have much more money than assets to invest. So they just created almost 10 trillion of US dollar equivalent altogether in just last 2 years, 18 months since the pandemic started. Only US growth of Federal Reserve balance sheet were more than $4 trillion, and that's like three times of total trade deficit with China for 20 years. So that's a huge amount of money. And when you are printing so fast, so huge amounts of money, we are talking that we don't have any kind of inflation, and we even don't see the inflation risk in the future. That's not looks like a strong thesis. And maybe current inflation is not such transitionary like the central banks wants to think now. It can come for a long time, and in this case, it's much better to be in any kinds of assets, but not in cash and not in long-term bonds.
Do you think a crash is coming anytime soon?
I'm not believing in crash when they printed so much money. Market can grow and correct after this growth. So S&P can go up more 50% and then go down for 30%. Is that normal? And that could happen very fast. But market becoming even more and more volatile because of a lot of retail investors coming, a lot of derivatives coming to the market, a lot of options now circulating in the market, and they also producing volatility. So market become even more and more and more volatile each year, and each crash is much faster than previous. But it will recover after each of them, just because it's very huge amounts of money. And when we having any instability on stock markets, the Federal Reserve is coming to help and to print even more money to support all the stock market, to come with buybacks, to come with direct intervention, like the Central Bank of Japan, who is coming to intervene in stocks, in real estate. So the National Bank is buying to their balance sheets. They are just printing money to buy real estate, to buy stocks on stock market. With such support, price can never fall, but money will cost much, much less in the future because of that.
What do you think of cryptocurrencies?
Unfortunately, I spent very much time discovering and studying how currency works, how we should evaluate assets, any kind of assets, currencies, equities, bonds, everything will be valued. And seeking for fair value is one of my passions. So I'm not asset manager, but I'm personally very interested in that. And for me, I also hope to name myself as a financial market professional, financial industry professional, because we are managing insurance companies, banks, stock brokerage, investment banks. And I understand very well why and how the financial institutions works now. And when people is trying to explain me why cryptocurrency is better than the normal banking system, they usually have the wrong answers, and they never really understand concept of modern money. And that looks very scary to me, because when most of backers of cryptocurrencies not really understand the current money and not even understand how the old money works, it's very difficult to introduce a new kind of money. At this moment, unfortunately, crypto like Bitcoin like this power this proof of work concept cryptocurrencies is one of the most slowest and expensive way of payments which even were introduced. The only reason why payments in normal banking system is relatively small and relatively slow and relatively expensive is just because of regulation, because of governments who wants to have banks like police, financial police, to control the source of funds, to control the reason of any transaction. And they punishing industry very much for any customer violation. So if you transfer the wrong money, so the key wrong person is financial institution, not even customer who transfers that money. In this concept, that's the only reason why transaction is such slow and such expensive, because all these normal SWIFT payments can be executed automatically extremely fast and can cost a couple cents to the industry. But of course, when we having concept of currency with market capitalization of $1 trillion, it's big enough to survive, but it should transform much. I'm not completely sure that it's able to transform, but they have to transform to support the current market capitalization. So at this moment, it looks extremely overvalued for me, still overvalued, because the valuation of currency is based on not only on gold-like, so the only one proceed is value store, like gold, like any kind of asset that we believe can save the can store the value. So at this moment, we created the new digital gold, and like the gold, we believe that it should be expensive. So if we change our mind, it can cost nothing, but until we believe, it can do the same function. But that's the only function that it have, because it's not using for clearing, it's not using for investments, it's not using for trade, it's not using to transfer money. So all that is very, very, very relatively, relatively to total market cap, all these points is very small, and because of that I'm still feeling that it's extremely overvalued. To support this valuation or be even more valuable, cryptocurrency should transform much. I think it's possible, but I'm not completely understand how they should be transformed.
Thank you. So I've got two more rounds to do. So those questions were, feel free to answer as long as you like. I've got a set of questions here which would be good to have some shorter answers. And then I've got a quick fire round, because I like to make sure we take only the hour of your time. I don't want to make you go over time. So feel free to expand if you want. But, maybe sort of 30-second answers for these ones might be good. So first one is, what do billionaires know that millionaires do not yet know?
I think when you're becoming big, also in terms of wealth, you understanding better that the money is less valuable resource that at least your time, and less valuable that your reputation. So your reputation and time cost much, much more. If you have a strong reputation, you could be able to raise any amount of money that you need. If your reputation is extremely weak, no kind of money will help you to survive in the business. So the money, it's good to have a lot of money because you're having more freedom because of that. But it's much more easy to build a healthy business when you have a strong deficit of cash.
What landmark was the hardest to hit for you? Your first million, your first 10 million, or your first billion?
In my case, first million. When you're just starting, you don't even have an idea the way to go. And when you made your first 10 million, you surely understanding the way. Sometimes you could not able to handle this way, but you're understanding it well. In the very beginning, you don't know the way. So you're not sure what way to go. And because of that, it's much more difficult. I think it's also much more difficult to make first 100,000 in a year in my region, because it's much more than average you can make in your salary.
In the UK especially, there's a big push from the working class, which are obviously the masses, that billionaires should be taxed more. Do you agree? And could you explain why?
It's a very interesting question, because until this wealth is not distributed and not spent, it's very virtual. It's just the resources of my business. It's my ability to expand. It's my ability to hire more people. It's my ability to come to the new market, to introduce new products, to acquire new companies. It's just a resource. And of course, any entrepreneur has a deficit of this resource. It's a very funny, but I read in one book that when you have a lack of extra $1,000, so billionaire have a lack of extra billion. So all of us has a deficit of resources, everyone. And of course, any taxes will make this deficit even harder. Until you're still in business, you need this cash not for consumption. You need this cash just as a resource. Like you have a team, human resources, your capital is also your kind of just your resource to produce your business. And if you making decision to quit and you just cashing out, and in this moment, I'm completely sure that I'm for sure don't need so much money. And I'm ready to be taxed. That's not a problem. I'm for sure I'm not wishing to my kids just to have it for free. That looks like a very terrible idea, because if you not made your money, that's usually bad for person. Person should make more money than it's spending. If you are earning less money than you are spending, you very rarely a really healthy person and good for society. So you need to make more money than you are spending. And I hope my kids also will be able to make more money than they will spend. Not like rentier, like just normal people who is making money, not because of parents' wealth, but because of their own activity, reputation, their own business, their own activity, own profession.
Do you think the tax system is fair and effective?
Politics is also like a business, has its limits. Efficiency limits. So taxes could not be much more efficient this time for this amount of labor productivity. The richest person not really has a very different consumption. They not consumed such they not spend most of their revenue for their personal consumption. They can use these profits just for reinvestments, for making business, and also because of this reason, their profits is not real profits. That's just a resource. Like you have some steel to produce railroad, you have some money to continue to do your business, And in this case, of course, any society trying to collect some money to take it from most efficient to less efficient, but you always have a limit of that because the wealthy people can protect themselves from governments much more efficient than the poor people able to do. And of course, governments wants to tax richest person more aggressive, but it's much more complicated to do. And that concept is not really works. Also because they have a very different economic profile. They not just million times, if you're making million times more than average workers, you have a much different structure of your consumption. So your house is not cost 1 million times more in a normal way. You just have a different, very different, you're investing in spending more money for investments and different kind of investments, businesses, stock market, a lot of that, but a lot of wealth is going back to the economics. They're not just spending their wealth. And because of that, it's not completely fair to tax the same manner. And also not, it's not very efficient because wealthy people can explain and can also, they're able to lobby their vision. And we never seen efficient ultra high taxes for ultra high net worth individuals. It's also not works well, never in the world. I'm not, of course, I never had a problem to pay a higher taxes for consumption, but it's looks at like a terrible when you need to give half of all your earnings back to the government and has a deficit of resources in terms of developing your business because of that. I'm not sure that that's really good for society because government spends this money much less efficient than business can spend for the total benefit of society sometimes.
Is there any asset class you do not like and why?
I don't like much crypto assets because I'm feeling that they look much overvalued. So I'm a young person, but I'm not a crypto enthusiast, very surprisingly. because a lot of my much older friends believe in that, but unfortunately, I never met a person who could be able to explain me in professional way why it should win the competition with the normal money. I think this I'll prefer to avoid cryptos, and I also prefer to avoid long-term low yield bonds at this moment because this 20 years, 30 years bonds with negative yields is could be extremely losing asset. We can easily lose like 75% of face value in the next 5 years if the interest rate will be like 6, like current inflation level in the United States, like the interest rate was in just 2007, not when I already were in the market. So if it happens again, this government bonds can devaluate and cost like 25% of their current face value.
Hmm. Okay. Timur, are you ready for the quick fire?
Yeah.
So, yeah, around 15 seconds or so for these answers. What's the highlight of your career?
I hope that Nasdaq listing, we spent a huge amount of time achieving that. That was very challenging to achieve. I remember that day I was not the happiest person in the world. I was very nervous because of that, but I think that's the key point for anyway.
What's the lowest moment in your career or the worst time?
Any any government stresses. I remember that in the very beginning, the National Bank of Kazakhstan made decision in 2011 in the very beginning to revoke the brokerage license from companies that we just acquired a couple months before. And that was a big hurt for me because that's a question of our reputation. It's a lot of our commitments about our future, our planning. So we lost a lot of time, but we came back and got a new license in a year. So we come through that. Another very bad moment was when one of our main counterpart in Kazakhstan also, large bank gone bankrupt, and we lose. We participated we were his underwriter in IPO, and we helped them to raise money. We trade a lot with them and hand them as a key money market counterpart. So we were deeply integrated, and when their banking license was revoked and they started to bankruptcy process, it also was a very big stress, and we lost most of our equity to recover the story, to save most of our customer funds, to gone through liquidity crisis that moment. It's also just 5 years ago or something like that. I remember that the first day when this news unexpectedly arrived, I was very, 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 very scared, extremely scared. But a lot of people helped us so much to gone through that. It was also a miracle that we gone without huge losses through all this process.
What's the best advice you can ever remember receiving?
I'm always remembering that if your fairness level is growing, you are on the right way. Something like that.
What's the worst advice you ever remember receiving?
The very difficult to name exact, but it's most of them was about not to do something. So not to acquire company, not to go with that person, to avoid some counterparts. So it's much better to, in my philosophy, it's much better to trust an enemy rather than to avoid some friends. So it's much better to trust enemies rather than betray your friends. So I prefer to be very, I prefer to trust people, and maybe because of that, because people feeling this trust from myself, they, most of them paying the same back to me. And I saw, and a lot of my counterparts who is very bad with all the market is good to me.
Is there one person you greatly admire and why?
I'm not sure. No. No.
If you had just £10,000 to invest, where would you put it?
I prefer to buy some. I think the answer could be very easy. I will just buy it, Triple Q, the Nasdaq ETF or something like that. I will try to get relatively big exposure to the biggest technology style companies in the world, and I'll try to keep this investment for long term. I'm sure that it's much better than to keep it in cash or any kind of cash equivalents.
And if you had just $100,000 to invest, where would you put that? Same scenario, your age, long term hold.
I think I'll put maybe 35% to the wide market like S&P 500, the same 25% to the Nasdaq, as a more aggressive part of the market. And just maybe 15% to the cash equivalents for some maybe issues, and all the rest to the real estate investment trusts, some real estate funds. So maybe this way, if I have a lot of time.
What's the best thing about being a billionaire?
You have you able to dream big. You're able to dream about creating bank in the country, to set up a completely new product, because we just introduced the online mortgage in Kazakhstan. And I'm really feeling that we completely changed the process of mortgage in Kazakhstan. Our best competitors spent more than 2 weeks for this mortgage process. And more than six people in the bank was involved in each credit application. And we just transformed that to the almost instant process. We deeply integrated with all government databases to score our customers, its revenues, incomes, credit score, to register real estate, to change the ownership of real estate fully online, to provide collateral also fully online, to evaluate real estate with big data model fully online. And because of that, because of introducing this kind of product, you're able to change the whole market theoretically. So you have a better, you have an ability and ambition to dream big and change a big thing, like banking industry in the whole country or even in the whole region. You can have this dream. You can make this dream true. That's a very complicated. You still have not much chances to win. But I think that's the only reason. You can do the big things and mobilize a lot of resources to achieve this dream.
And what's the worst thing about being a billionaire?
You receiving a lot of hate, also in social media, when people know you, when so you becoming familiar, and I think a lot of people has a negative approach to the wealthy person, especially in my region, maybe not only in my region. So the most of the people is trying to challenge yourself day by day and trying to explain what's wrong with you and what's good with them, if they not why they don't like to be like you, so such scary person like you. I think that's the worst thing, because you getting more hate, you having a lot of support, but also you're starting to collect much more hate.
What's the best tip that you learned about money?
Everyone who wants to become a rich person till dark will be hanged till sunrise. I'm not sure that I'm translated it fully correctly, and sorry for my English for anyway, but you don't be hurrying in making money, because when you are trying to make a lot of money very fast, it's the best way to lose money and sometimes to lose even your freedom.
Do you have a 15-second tip for having good mental strength?
The main thing in business is to build a team, and then you as a leader should motivate your team, should let them go with you, and you have to become a billionaire. You always should build a team of more multimillionaires beside you. It's very difficult to do this a different way. I never had any kinds of mentors. but I'm sure that the team and people around you, your friends always should be richer than you and more successful than you. That's the only way to go to the next level. If all your friends is people who making less money, you never will start. You never will start to make more money. If you are having a friendship with guys who can do much more than you in different spheres, not especially in business, you are learning from them and you are trying to be like them. That's only a very, very good way to go.
This is the final question, Timur, and this has been a lot of fun and very educational, so thank you very much. This show is called The Disruptive Entrepreneur. What does that word disruptive mean to you?
Like we did in mortgage, for example, when you can change the way how industry do the things, how the customer onboarding process should be, how customers can invest, how easy could be investments, how easy could be banking products, how insurance interface can change. When you're coming to the completely new sphere and changing the most in the process, that's an amazing, because you're always going to the very to the areas that which were never visited before, and because of that you're risking very much, because nobody understand could it work or not, can this investment be paid back or not, and you have to risk every day just to survive. That's the most challenge of the current economic situation, because I seen how the financial institution who built themselves for many tens of years was disrupted in a couple of years by the newcomers. And the newcomers can disrupt them in a couple of months because of this technology shift, because the credit cards now should not be printed and embossed like before. You can just be downloaded to the Apple Wallet almost instantly. We seen how Facebook acquired the first 200 millions. It took some years. And then Clubhouse acquired 200 millions in 2 weeks. And in all industries, this disruption is coming, and newcomers can disrupt your business so fast that you could not be even able to realize that. That's the most challenging way, and you have to be aware. Even if, for example, this moment, our holding is last fiscal quarter, we reported almost 50 million net profit. But I completely understand that if we will lose some opportunities, we could be disrupted. In a couple of years, we can lose all our revenues. So the market can completely change, and we have to run fast just to survive.
Timur, where could we either follow your work or find out more about your services?
On Instagram. So unfortunately, I'm texting more in Russian, so I'm trying to. I hope that the next year I will try to be more transparent also for English speaking audience. As a US public company, I also should communicate with my English speaking shareholders. But at this moment, you can read me on Instagram, on Timur Turlov, on Instagram. My the same on Facebook.
Timur, I've really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for giving your time. Really grateful for having you on the show.
Thank you, sir.